Proverbs 16, 6 through 9. By loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great income with injustice. The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And then to 2 Timothy. Eight through 14. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. This ends the reading of God's word. You may be seated. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we just come before you humbly this morning. Lord, we acknowledge that we are nothing without you. Lord, we ask that you would humble our hearts, that we would be teachable, that you would teach us your ways. Lord, in all of these things, we ask that as we look at your word, that you would be changing us. Lord, that you would be humbling us and conforming us more like Christ. Lord, we just ask now that you would bless us, that you would teach us. Lord, I pray that you would protect these people from my sin and the error that is in me. And we just thank you for your faithfulness in working your will and blessing and meeting our needs. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning, in these few verses here in Proverbs, there are several reoccurring themes. Certainly, we'll see again some of the sovereignty of God, and but many important instructions for us. It is very important that we seek the Lord with all our heart. There's so many distractions in life. We must seek the Lord with all our heart. We must seek to please Him in how we live. It does matter. All those little decisions we make every day, they are important. We need to seek to please God in how we live. And we must love God and hate evil. Evil is enticing, but we must be disciplined that we would hold fast to God and that we would abhor what is evil. And so, as we go through here, again, like I said earlier, God has blessed us so much, and the more we know God, the more our eyes are open to all of those blessings and the things that God is doing that we knew He was doing, but the more we know God, then the more we understand what a great blessing what He is doing is to us. And so certainly this morning I hope that we can see those blessings as well. So as we go through these verses, certainly we want to gain knowledge, we want to learn, we want to know how God wants us to live. But at the same time, we don't want to lose sight of the importance of knowing God. And so in each of these verses, I've tried to look at what the verse teaches us, and then also at the end of each verse, consider what we can know about God from these instructions that He gives us. So let's begin with verse 6. By loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. Here we have a very simple description of the gospel, both justification and sanctification. And we learn a lot about the Lord and how He atones for our sin by His love and truth. The first half of the verse, by loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for. You see, men do many things to try and justify themselves, but it's not truly justification. You know, many things we'll do in our own mind. Some men may go to church every Sunday morning to feel justified. You know, some men in the past may have thought that they were justified in sacrificing animals to the Lord. Let me read for you Webster's definition of justification. It says, it is an act of free grace by which God pardons the sinner and accepts him as righteous on account of the atonement of Christ. You see, it's good for us to go to church every Sunday, but going to church does not take anyone's sin away. Just like it was good for them to offer those sacrifices in the past, but none of those sacrifices took away their sin. As Hebrews 10:4 makes clear and says, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. So it's important for us to understand that all the good that we can do is never enough to take away our sin. God is the one who atones for our iniquities. And we see here in this verse that He atones for our sin by loving kindness and truth. You see, God loves us so much that He laid down His life. He went to the cross for us. Romans 5:6-8 says, for while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So not only are our sins atoned for by God's love, but also His truth. You see, God is faithful. He follows through on all His promises. No one is justified by God simply letting them slide by, turning a blind eye to their sin. You see, God does not do that. God is truth. And our sins are atoned for by God's mercy and His faithfulness. Also, turn with me, if you would, to Romans 3. We'll read 23 through 28. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God he passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No, but by a law of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. And the second half of the verse. And by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. So first we see here how God atones for our sin. And now, once we have been set free from that bondage to sin, we see how to keep away from sin, how to keep away from evil. And it is by fearing the Lord. Psalm 119 teaches us to fear the Lord, to keep his commandments, and to keep away from evil. I want to read just the first 11 verses of Psalm 119. But as I read this, listen to the emphasis that the psalmist puts on seeking the Lord with all his heart. And also listen for his strong desire to not sin against God. Psalm 119, 1 through 11. How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness. They walk in his ways. Thou hast ordained thy precepts, that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep thy statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all thy commandments. I shall give thanks to thee with uprightness of heart when I learn thy righteous judgments. I shall keep thy statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to thy word. With all my heart I have sought thee. Do not let me wander from thy commandments. Thy word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. You see, keeping away from evil should be a great concern of ours. And keeping away from evil is directly affected by our relationship with the Lord. And so to fear the Lord is certainly to have a right relationship with God. And so sometimes you'll be disappointed in yourself. In why do you keep sinning? And so when this happens, certainly repent. Repent and seek the Lord with all your heart. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Here we are given great advice. We are taught how to keep from sin. Fear God. Fear God. Live in awe and reverence for the holy God, and walk in obedience to him throughout life. So here we are instructed to fear the Lord. Stay away from evil. But we can also learn a lot about the Lord here. God is loving. God is merciful. He is faithful. And he takes sin very seriously. and he is the one who atones for our iniquities. Christ has accomplished it. He does not want us to sin and walk in darkness, but he wants us to fear him and to cling to him and walk in the light as he is in the light. So by loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for. And by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. Verse 7. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. This verse speaks of the blessings that come upon those who live life God's way. Specifically, the blessings on our relationships. But it also speaks of the sovereignty of God over how others treat us. Now, what this verse is encouraging us to do is to please the Lord. Live in a way that honors the Lord. Obey him. And when our ways are pleasing to him, God blesses our relationships. It says that he makes our enemies to be at peace with us. Now, certainly we can all recognize, sometimes easier, how this works when we think of the opposite. When we think about those times when we are not living in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. Times when we're impatient with others. Times when we're being selfish. And what happens? It always hurts the relationships. It always stirs up strife with those around us. And so we see how when we live in a way that is pleasing to the Lord, it brings peace, even with our enemies. Now, I believe that this happens in two ways. The first way, I would say, is the normal way, and the second way, I would say, is the miraculous way. Now, the normal way that this happens is that as we obey the Lord, as we treat others right, how God wants us to, it makes it easier for them to have a good relationship with us, to not have issues with us. And so just as when we don't treat people right, there's no peace in that relationship. It causes problems. And so the normal way that this verse works its way out is that we do what's right, and it makes it easier for everyone else, including our enemies, to treat us right as well, to be at peace with us and not be at odds with us. But there is a second way. You see, this verse speaks of the sovereignty of God. He's not only working peace through normal human reactions, but also he is working peace through divine, miraculous intervention. You see, the verse says, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. This is God. This is work that he is doing. He is blessing and protecting us by working his will, not only in our lives, but by working his will in the lives of our enemies and causing those who would normally hate us to be at peace with us. Now, certainly, you may think of people in your own life, or you may think of examples in Scripture. You know, you think of David, and, you know, man after God's own heart. Were all of David's enemies, would you say that Saul was at peace with David as he's hunting him down to kill him for no good reason? Well, I bring this up because the point that I want to make is that God is working this out in so many different ways that we never know about. What would David's situation have looked like if God hadn't been working peace and protecting him? Although Saul tried to kill him. And so God is at work. And we don't always see it, we don't always know how, but he is blessing us. And he is, we have no idea how many enemies we would have. You understand? If God was not blessing in this way. Now another important lesson that we can learn from this verse is to not fear man. You see, we have no need to fear our enemies. Even those who hate us, who may want to kill us, as Saul wanted to kill David. You see, this verse should give us confidence in the Lord, to trust him more and more, because God is in control of them, and God can change their mind, and he can force them to think well of you if he wants to. You see, God can do miraculous things. He can turn enemies into friends. We think it's impossible, but it's not with God. So we don't need to fear our enemies. So our goal should be to live in a way that pleases the Lord. Trust him. We need to trust the Lord to work his will, even in the lives of our enemies. And we can also see from this verse that God is always watching out for us, isn't he? He is not leaving us unprotected. He's blessing our relationships in so many ways, ways that we may never be aware of. God is so good to us. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Verse 8. Better is a little with righteousness than great income with injustice. Here in this verse, our priorities and our views that sometimes get off are put back in the correct order. We see that God's blessings of righteousness are far better than great riches. You see, we have this habitual problem. We're constantly getting priorities out of balance. And money is certainly one of those priorities that oftentimes gets out of balance. It's difficult. You see, it's very hard. It is a struggle to not value money too much. Partly because money has value, and it is important what we do with money. But there are so many more important things than making lots of money. Things like righteousness, things like justice. Now, certainly man's wisdom and God's wisdom are completely opposite on the issue of money. You see, the world will ask questions like, what are you worth? Or how much money do you make a year? But God asks more important questions. God asks questions like, how did you get the money? Or what are you doing with the money? You see the difference in focus. This verse is teaching us that it is better to make an honest living, although it may be meager, and to be content with that income, and to honor the Lord in how we use it. That would all be far better than to make millions of dollars fraudulently. to make a large income and use it for our own pleasures, to live a life that is not pleasing to the Lord and make lots of money. Now, just to be clear, it is not more noble, it is not more godly to be poor than to be rich. Okay? This verse is not teaching that everyone who makes a lot of money needs to repent and get right with God. You see, the amount of money is not the issue. Not at all. It's only mentioned for the purpose of showing us that it's more important that we honor the Lord with our life than that we have a great income. You see, we need to be faithful with whatever resources God gives us. If we get our priorities out of order and we start putting too much emphasis on how much money am I making, it won't take long and we will find ourselves compromising on many issues. You see, when wealth becomes your goal, the temptations of sin in order to gain more wealth are endless. 1 Timothy 6, 9 through 10 says, "But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many a pang." So you see how dangerous it is. We must constantly be re-examining our priorities. We must ask ourselves questions like, why am I doing what I'm doing? And we must ask ourselves, how have I compromised walking with the Lord and seeking Him and His will in my life in order to fill my wallet? You see, there's nothing wrong with making lots of money, as long as it's not your heart's desire. And as long as we don't do it at the expense of following and serving Christ. So let us live righteous lives, enjoying whatever financial blessings God gives us. And yet let us never compromise our service to Christ for the sake of money. So what can we learn about God from this verse? Well, I would say that we can see from this verse that God cares a lot about what's right and just. And He doesn't want the temptations of this passing world to distract us from what is important, like living honestly and humbly, being committed to righteousness and pleasing Him. So we must be committed to serving the Lord, being faithful and obedient to Him in doing what He wants us to do, even when we could make more money doing something else. Better is a little with righteousness than great income with injustice. Verse 9, "The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." Here we see another verse that is similar to verse 1 in this chapter, making it very clear that God is ultimately in control, not man. In this verse, we see two wonderful things, but the emphasis is definitely on the second. Okay, the first part, the mind of a man plans his way. So we see that a man plans his way. You see, we are not like unreasoning animals who just live by instinct. But God has given us a mind. We are humans. We are made in the image of God. And so we reason in our mind and in our heart. And isn't this a wonderful thing? Isn't it enjoyable at times to look at all the options, to figure out what would be the best path? What direction should we go in this, in whatever decisions we have to make? And so the mind of man plans his way. But the second half of the verse, which is the main point, is that although man plans his way, God overrules our plans. You see, think of our will as a small circle, and God's will as a great big circle surrounding it. Okay? God is in control. Now, if you're in denial about your human condition, or if you don't know God, this verse may seem disappointing to you at first. You know, you may, I thought I had a good plan, you know. I wanted to see what my idea, how that would work out. But you see, as wonderful as the first part of the verse is, the second part is even better. Okay? God is in control. He directs our steps. It is a wonderful blessing. A wonderful blessing that God overrules our plans. You see, He orchestrates His own plan in our lives. God is so good, and it is so good for us that He is in control. So even if you thought that you have good intentions, you must recognize that God has much better intentions, and He knows everything about everything. And so it is very good news that God directs our steps. I'm so glad that God does not let my plans stand, but that He directs my steps. So this verse speaks of a blessing, of protection, that we all too often take for granted. Certainly, partly because we can't possibly know all of the ways that God is doing this in our lives, how He is directing our steps. So we should seek the Lord. We should make plans that we believe would be pleasing to Him. And then as He directs our steps and works His will in our life, we should humbly recognize that His plan is better than ours. And we should seek to learn and try to understand why He's doing what He's doing. Certainly we know that whatever He does, it will be for His glory and for our good. And we see from this verse that God is a sovereign God. He is in complete control. He is directing the steps of man to accomplish His will. So the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So in conclusion, let us respond to the Lord and all of these many blessings as He works His sovereign will, as He protects us really from even from ourselves. We see not only this morning in these verses how He protects us from our enemies, but He protects us from our own bad plans, doesn't He? And so the blessings never end. So let us be thankful and let us be obedient. May we grow in faith. You see, it's a lifelong struggle, but we've got to let go. We've got to quit. You know, if we could just do something one time that would just eliminate our trying to lean on our own understanding. But we keep going back. We keep trying to, don't we? We must trust the Lord. He is faithful. We are in great hands. So He is in control. He is accomplishing His purposes. And we benefit so much from the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, thank You so much. Lord, we just understand, we just see a little bit, just a glimpse of how good You are. Of Lord, we don't even understand or know about all the blessings that You are pouring out upon us. It's kind of embarrassing, Lord, to think about how often we think we're in control and we know what's going on. And Lord, we just thank You for humbling us. We thank You for showing us that You are in control. Lord, we thank You for the blessings that You pour out upon us. We thank You for the protection, not only from our enemies, but from even from ourselves. Lord, You are so good to us. Lord, we just praise Your name this morning. We thank You, Lord, for atoning for our sins, for continuing to bless us more and more. Lord, we ask that You would help us more and more to fear You and to draw near to You, that we would flee from sin, that we would hate evil. We ask for Your protection. We thank You, knowing Your faithfulness, knowing that You are at work protecting us from sin. You are so good to us, Lord. We praise Your name this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.